Okay, I hit record. Give me a sound bite test thing. I want to make sure you're coming through.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
To fuck your mom.
That's exactly correct.
I'm really sorry, man. I am in no mood for anything, so do the intro.
Welcome, everyone, to the funniest goddamn episode of Just Becousins that you've ever heard, and that's not saying much. My name is Joe Neal. This is my cousin, Jason Mark.
Hey, you.
And if you're willing to tolerate this excuse for comedy, then just get ready to not laugh.
The timing was almost perfect.
Almost?
Almost, yeah. I know you can't hear. You can't hear it when you're talking, so. Good effort, though.
I tried my best.
Yeah,
was it close?
Yeah, it's pretty close, yeah. And comedy timing is everything, right? Isn't it?
I guess so.
Yeah.
We could go into that.
We will. We'll go into that. We're going to...
Timing is the most important thing, right, Jason?
It is. And we're going to... We're going to go into that. We're going to talk about comedy so in-depth, it's going to be the least funny thing that anybody's ever heard in their whole lives. And that's irony, Joe, and irony is the basis of all comedy. And I have a story about that, actually. I'm pissed off, but I'll wait till Roik stops done singing.
Well, I'd like to address our listener really quick. Listener?
Ian? Yes.
Sorry about that. Hit a clip on YouTube there. Sorry about that, Joe. You know how I'm always fucking around. You were talking to Ian, right?
Yeah, I was talking to Ian, our only listener. Ian, you might understand, if you listen closely to Jason's voice, he does seem a little perturbed. There's a tinge, just a dusting, just a dash of frustration. Jason, what's that about?
I don't know. I'm on drugs. Not even the good ones. I'm on prescription drugs. I'm just not in the mood. But I was going
to
say...
Drugs are supposed to get them.
Yeah, I'm not even. I mean, I was once given a prescription for a drug that was okay, and then I drank a bottle of wine while I was on it, and then it was amazing, but I'm not even on that drug. I'm on a different one. Let's not talk about my goddamn pharmaceutical issues. Let's talk about comedy. Let's talk about irony. That's how I'm going to open the show, Joe. I have discovered all by myself that everything that's funny is ironic. I discovered that. That was me. I did it.
Yeah, that's an original idea. You taught me that. And I
yeah.
was like, Jason came up with that.
I came up with
fucking
that.
Amazing.
And I bet some other smarter person has actually come up with that and wrote about it and is a genius. But I came up with that. Here's my story. This is what I want to tell you about. I actually, like when this first popped into my head, I was so proud of myself that I told somebody about it. And we were just having this conversation. And I said, oh, yeah, and you know, irony, everything funny is ironic. And he said to me, he goes, oh, no, that's not true. And all I could think is, you arrogant fucking prick. You are the least funny human being I have ever met in my life. That's literally true. Like, that was true before I brought this up. I'm not saying that because you said this. I'm saying it because it's true. You're the least funny person. You are so uncreative. You are extremely dull. And you're telling me, I've done stand-up, Jack. You're telling me I'm wrong about irony? You know what? Fuck you. And everything you hold dear, which I think is like stocks. That's all you hold dear is like stocks. This is how boring this fucker was, Joe. He was into stocks. Anyway, pissed me off, and I'm still pissed off like 8 years later.
Well, just I want you to, I can feel your anger.
Good.
Strike me down with it.
That's the plan. Anyway, sorry. I wanted to get that off my chest. You know, I like to come to the show a little something prepared, and that's what I had prepared. And now I'm done. I'm out. Yeah.
Well, I liked it. This is the thing. I've never heard such a kind of consistent and unbreaking level of frustration from you. And maybe that's a good thing. You know what? Some of my favorite comedians are just kind of angry. Just kind of angry guys.
Like who?
So maybe this. Well, I would say George Carlin's pretty angry. But then all of a sudden he'll start dancing around like a leprechaun and laughing at himself. So that breaks it up a little bit.
George Carlin 2.0 was definitely angry. The original George Carlin, when he's back in his hippie days, he was goofy and silly. But yes, you're right. He's an angry one. And Lewis Black, my dad's favorite comedian.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah. Lewis Black. Very pissed.
Yeah.
That's good. And there's always just a tinge of anger in comedy anyway. Even like observational, Jerry Seinfeld comedy is a little bit angry because he's like, he's frustrated at stupid shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit. I think
he's.
Yeah, I think if you don't have a, well, I was going to say something that probably come across as racist, sexist, and all the other ists, so I'm not going to. I'm just going to say that.
Well, why change your MO now?
I'm just going to say that I think that angry is an easy go-to for comedians who don't have another character or point of view that they can draw on. And I don't mean easy and like it's a cop-out. I mean, it's just, a lot of people can relate to it. That's what I'm getting at. We're all angry, Joe. We're all of us fucking angry.
Yeah, and that's why, I think all comedians maybe kind of fit into some category or several categories. And tapping into anger is one of the ways that you can relate to people and then you can shift it to humor.
Well, anger is what? What did Yoda say? Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to the dark side. And nothing's funnier than Darth Vader. I don't know. You're the Darth Vader guy. You tell me how funny he is.
Darth Vader's funny just because if you bring up Darth Vader and then put him in a weird situation, it just seems weird enough. And then there's the other category is just absurdity.
Absolutely,
absurdity, that's why I bring up people, if you want to call Darth Vader a person. He's not a fucking person.
He's
a maniac.
You know what's funny about Darth Vader? Sorry to interrupt you. I just thought of this. If you go back to, go back to somewhere in the Midwest in the 60s and tell somebody that you met a guy named Darth Vader, and they'd be like, Darth Vader? What kind of hick name is Darth Vader? It sounds like a hick name, Darth Vader.
Jason, you sound like a hick. Does everyone from the 60s sound like a hick?
No, I meant like, I said the 60s and I was thinking about Wichita, Kansas. I don't know why. I don't know why.
No, I get it. Yeah. Well, look, 60s, kind of archaic. When I think of, you feel the same way, I'm pretty sure. When you think of like, dinosaurs, like people that are not up on the times, suddenly you think of a southern accent. Everyone from the south.
No, it's true. No, I was just saying 60s because I wanted to go pre-Star Wars, and I know it came out in like 76 or something, but I just wanted to, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not in the mood, Joe, god damn it. We should do, we should probably introduce another element to the show so that those elements can save me from my lack of humor, and you guys can talk about comedy, and I'll just drink this beer.
I'm going to give you some time to warm up. And, even though you're not in the mood for this shit, you're still here. And look at this. You're at the engineering board. Is that what it's called?
It's called my desktop, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to call it the engineering board to cheer you up because that sounds more special.
I kind of have I'm going to take a screenshot of my engineering board, and that's going to be the featured image for today's podcast.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, somehow we can't stop talking shit about one cross section of society and the next, including ourselves. So at least there's that. But just talking shit about people from the South. I know a guy who has done stand up comedy and who I've known for a long time, and he's from the South, and I think he is standing by. Let's bring him in. So you won't even have to do anything. Maybe we'll talk. You can get pissed off at us and just shoot us down.
Should I give him an intro song?
Sure, pick one.
Okay, I should have thought of this before. Here you go. Here's your intro song. I'm randomly going to play some music. Here you go. Okay, introduce him. Go.
Ladies and gentlemen, from very, very south in our country, it's motherfucking comedian!
The anti-comedian! That's why he started with T-I-M-E-D-I-A-N, because I'm really not that funny, but I'm really excited to be at the show.
Hey, Tim, quick. Sorry to interrupt, guys. You know that the audio on this is shitty because I'm the one at the engineering board. Can you enunciate that and explain it? What did you just call yourself?
I am the anti-comedian, so I slipped my first name right in the front of that.
Yeah.
As comedian.
I like it.
Because I don't want to hold myself accountable for any shitty jokes.
I like it. You're the comedian.
I'm the anti-comedian.
Yeah.
Now, Tim, we call that a cowardly disclaimer, which is something we do in every show. So you're fitting right in all the way. It's comedian, the anti-comedian. We're going to try and fail at comedy, and we welcome you to this
program. Well, this is great, because I've actually been listening to your show, finally. Forever. And yes, and I've been actually listening to it with these amazing, like, $200, like, gamer headphones. And this is very surreal that I'm even on it, because I actually am listening to only my voice when I'm talking. And this is I'm in the show. Yeah. I'm in the show.
You're in the show.
It's about time in the show.
Jason, I told Tim earlier, I'm like, when you're on the show, since you've listened to all these shows, once you're on the show, it'll be just like listening to the show, except you'll be able to interact with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing for Tomedian. That's awesome. You know, Tim, you call yourself the anti-comedian. Are you familiar with the concept of anti-jokes?
I am familiar with the anti-joke. And one of my personal favorites actually is why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Because it was fucking dead.
That's a good one. I don't know if I have a favorite. I like
that's like my all-time favorite and pretty much the only one.
You guys, so an anti-joke is a real thing, and there are examples, and that is one example.
Let me give you a couple. Yeah, let me give you a couple. A horse walked into a bar. Here we go. A horse walked into a bar. Several people got up and left as they spotted the potential danger in the situation.
I have one.
Yeah, here's another one. Your mom is so fat, she should be concerned because diabetes is a serious problem.
No, okay. That still falls in the your mama joke category.
Yeah.
Yes, but
here's one more, Joe. One more, and then you can riff. Ready? Here you go. How do you confuse a blonde? Paint yourself green and throw forks at her. Crickets. Here's why I like anti-jokes so much, and Tim, you're a stand-up comic, so you can tell me if this is a thing. I think that comedians, they get to a point of being familiar with comedy such that it's very predictable, and it's almost like they can see it coming. And sometimes that's not a bad thing, right? But anti-jokes are not funny, and that's what's funny about them. And for comedians, it's that not funny thing that's funny that's just surreal enough that it appeals to them. I don't know. You tell me if I'm full of shit. But
no, you're fully on base. And there is like a surge of that I've noticed on social media that they label as bad dad jokes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And and that's surging. That and, you know, pun wars or whatever. But there's nothing worse and nothing better than a fantastic pun, too.
Absolutely.
And that's you know, that's really when you're talking about how comedics think that things become predictable, this, that, and the other. A bad joke is definitely probably the easiest way to put a smile on a comedian's face. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
So anti jokes. I'm getting the, because I know what a bad dad joke is, and there's bad jokes that end up actually being good jokes. But I wanted to say the anti-joke, I didn't realize there was a category. You guys gave examples. Well, Jason, you started throwing examples, and I realized, well, and you even gave an anti-mom joke.
Yeah.
And I don't think I need to explain that. It's look, it's anti-mom, which all mom jokes are anyway, but it's also an anti-joke. So anti-mom joke, there you go. It just explains itself. But I have strangely enough, I have two anti-jokes.
Yeah.
And they're both about Canadians.
Okay.
And that's all I got. I don't have any other jokes except for when it comes to anti-jokes. They're both Canadian jokes. Would you guys like to hear them?
Of course.
Love to.
What do you call a watermelon in Canada?
A fucking watermelon.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, Tim, I'll thank you not to fucking ruin my beautiful punchline next time. Here's the next one. How do you get 100 Canadians out of a pool? Yes, and very politely. Could you please get out of the pool?
I think I like, you know, this show is meta. Tim, if you've listened to our show, we're always telling each other that we're very meta. And I think the meta aspect of the anti-joke is that you use a classic setup, right? These are all classic setups. How do you confuse a blonde, a priest or rabbi, and a Muslim cleric walk into a bar? You know, these are all like tropes, comedy tropes. And so a person is expecting, you know, irony, and then they don't get it. But because they don't get it, that is ironic. And so they got what they wanted, but they didn't get it the way they thought they're going to get it. It's very meta. I think that's why I like the anti-joke so much. And my favorite example of this idea of like comedians have one kind of humor and non-comedians have another is I was watching one of those roasts on Comedy Central. I can't remember who they were roasting, but what's his name? The guy used to be an SNL, Norm MacDonald. There you go. You know him? You guys know Norm MacDonald?
Yes. Yes.
Familiar with his comedy? So he gets up there to do this roasting thing and he goes, I wanted to tell you that your face looks like a flower, a cauliflower, right? Which is not a funny joke. But all of the comedians on stage were laughing their balls off. And all of the non-comedians like John Stamos and, I don't know, Courtney Love, the people who weren't stand-up comics, they were laughing too because they were confused. And the comedians were laughing because Norm was like, fuck this. This is stupid. This whole thing is stupid, and I'm going to make fun of it by telling the stupidest jokes ever. But he also knew that people would find that extremely fucking funny. And so he's playing a joke on the people who are laughing who don't get it, and he's playing a joke on the people who are laughing who do get it. I also laughed my balls off. I had no balls left. My wife said to me, do you want to get me pregnant tonight? And I said, I can't. I don't have any balls.
They were rolling down the hallway.
It was so funny. And it's that kind of – I'm sorry, Joe. I know this is the comedy episode and I took it meta already, but I'm just very – this is the point of view I want to take on today's show. Let's talk about comedy from the comedy perspective. We have a professional comic on, so let's get his thoughts.
Well, have you
– amateur at least. But here, God damn it. You guys can't see this, but I'm both shimmying and doing jazz hands at the same time. Like, I can't wait to say the next thing I'm about to fucking say.
Yeah.
And it's this, that what you would call that, what you just described that Norm MacDonald did, I don't know what I did on some earlier podcast, but you alerted me to the fact that I had done something that was ironically inverse meta.
Yeah.
And I think what you just described... And really, like, if you pick that apart, I think what you just described, that's exactly what Norm MacDonald did.
Yeah.
No, actually, it was ironically double inverse meta. Break it down technically, like academically. That's what happened.
Do you remember what it was that we did that you described like that?
I mean, you'd have to listen to earlier podcasts, but basically was doing. Hey, what is that noise, motherfuckers? Please.
Not me. I'm playing with a fidget spinner, so I don't know what... Is that you, Tim?
Tim, is that you beating your dick with a hammer? Stop doing it. It's not healthy.
Sorry. It's just what I do to relax. I mean, that's just kind of how I deal with these kind of anxieties when I'm on a podcast. And, you know, if you don't like it, then don't listen to my ball-ping hammer.
We can't help it, so just try to...
Keep it down.
Ball-ping hammer. I think that's a great... name for what you're using to do what you're doing. Ball ping hammer. I'll never hear the phrase ball ping hammer again and not think fondly of your balls being pinged by a hammer. That's actually
the name of a punk band comprised completely of gay porn actors.
Ball ping hammer. and their hit gonna blow you up or blow you. I don't know. I'm being stupid. Let's ask Tim. Let's get Tim to talk for a while. Tim, you do stand up. Are you a professional? Are you an amateur? What's your story? What's your thing?
I basically did stand up for a little while when I was in New York City. It took me 6 months to write 10 minutes of really shitty comedy, and I have a DVD to prove it. It's my best performance ever. It's kind of my legacy, if you will. And that's about as far as it goes. However, have either of you had the opportunity to ever actually roast somebody and write material for somebody that you know personally and deliver it to them?
No. Joe?
No, but
no, it's funny. One of the most fantastic things that anyone could do, and I've had the opportunity to do this at least three times.
Oh my God, Tim, I'm shimmying, I'm jazz handing again. Listen,
Joe's a fucking audio podcast.
And on to you, Joe. It's your turn.
No, I'm just saying because I talked to Tim earlier this week, and this will ring a bell, Jason. He got to roast somebody on their 60th birthday. And guess what, Tim? Jason and I were planning on roasting someone on their 60th birthday, but we just didn't do it. And we should have, and I'm talking about my dad, of course. And we went to his 60th birthday party, and it was fantastic, and a roast would have been good. But I think his wife, and probably all of us, nodded in agreement that if we roasted him at that occasion, it would have turned into an emotional downward spiral that would have like ended in fisticuffs.
Not unlike the episode where you described your dad's taking delight in your getting physically ill from eating too much.
Yes, we'd all like to think that my dad would want to be roasted until we started roasting him, and then he would start roasting us back, and it would all seem like there would be a lot of levity until all of a sudden like sneers and like foaming at the mouth and haymakers. And people being knocked out, blood on the fucking tile. So we didn't.
I have jazz hands. I have jazz hands.
Is that her thing now?
All right, hit it.
I'm shimmying.
Are you twirling your pasties?
No, they're just kind of spinning on their own because my pointy mantis can just do that on cue. However, I've only roasted three people, and two of which I was not there to actually do it. One of which I sent a video for my friend Grant that I had known since diapers, and it was his 30th birthday. And I sent the video, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And they had a birthday party for him, and his whole family was there, and they're like, Here's this montage that his mom put of videos of him being a baby and him growing up and pictures of kind of us, his family, all this stuff. And then it cued me for no reason at all that nobody even like was aware of. And I sat there and laid in on him and his mom, who's, you know, like a second mother to me. And there, I guess, when I called them, I was like, so how did it go? And my friend Grant goes, oh, it was great. My mom was cracking up. And the only thing that my grandma had to say was, why did he have to say fuck so much? And I can't even imagine actually what happened. But it's probably one of the most embarrassing moments that I've ever never been at. short of the second time that I roasted somebody that I was not there to roast, which was my wife's godfather, who is at the time he was a lawyer, he's now a judge, and I was turning 60, and I wrote all this stuff so my mother-in-law could go down and deliver these jokes. I don't even know this man. And I just went straight physical. Dude looks like a walrus. You can only imagine what was actually being said and how it was being delivered by my mother-in-law in front of a group of people with my name on it. It was the second most embarrassing performance.
No, wait,
I was.
Did you see footage of that? Like, are you?
No.
Do you know how it went? Did you just get like secondhand accounts of how that went?
My mother-in-law told me it went well.
Okay,
good.
Like, okay, great. I doubt it. I highly freaking doubt it. I mean, as a Jason, you know, when you're writing stuff, you know, there's so much vernacular when you're writing that, you know, and that I only write because I have no grammatical, like, process.
Say no more.
It's just an online, it's just a straight on sentence.
Yes.
And I just kind of cut little lines into it to just add my little
Yeah.
And so have somebody else actually present your material without any of that understanding had been the most embarrassing moment I've never actually
to me this sounds sounds really great, and I have to ask, I'm burning, I'm shimmying, jazz handing, that please, did you actually say the man looks like a walrus? Just
goddamn right I did.
Okay, because that seems like, guess what, I'm roasting somebody, I don't even know what he looks like, guess what, looks like a fucking walrus. I don't care. That's kind of effective, no matter what, no matter who you're talking about. There's a whole group of people sitting there like, you don't look like a walrus. That's ridiculous.
I don't know. I think Tim, what you're talking about, somebody else is delivering it, and they're not hitting your cadences and your rhythms and what was the word you used? Grammaticals. I think there, again, it can be something that for people who are into comedy can start to laugh at. I mean, you can imagine someone's reading it and it's all offbeat. It's like, you know, a priest and a rabbi and a Muslim cleric walk into a bar. The cleric, having abstain, and you know, they're just stumbling over it, and everyone's like giggling because they're like, okay, I know what she's trying to do. Poor thing. She's reading someone else's joke, but, I don't know. I'm sure you delivered.
That's like Courtney Love. That's how I felt about Courtney Love.
Yeah. So you did also a third one.
I met Courtney Love.
Oh, really?
Yes. I actually inadvertently served her a cappuccino.
Inadvertently. I meant to sign some insurance documents, but fuck, there's a cappuccino in my hand, so I just gave it to Courtney Love. What do you mean inadvertently?
Right. I didn't mean to. But I was actually handing somebody their beverage that they asked for, and take this over. And Courtney Love comes in and just snatches it straight out of my hand. And the dude,
oh my god,
that is so punk,
just waved me on and was like, "Just go get another one." And I was like, "Damn right, it's fucking Courtney Love, bitch." I mean,
Jason, yeah. That was inadvertent.
Yeah,
she's
absolutely.
Maybe the only person that you can inadvertently fucking hand a drink to. Did she inadvertently suck your cock behind a dumpster?
I can't say that on this podcast, but
but Joe apparently can.
Thank you. Jason, can we move on?
Can we what? Hello?
I was going to say move on. I was trying to be funny, but
I thought you said, can we fuck? And I was like, well, Joe. It's an audio-only podcast. And we're a couple hundred thousand miles apart, but... Okay.
Seriously, we can't do it.
And we're
now,
cousins, but
we shouldn't schedule such a thing. At this
no,
time.
It should be spun. It should be inadvertent, right?
I'll just kind of slide in and do it for them.
Okay, fair enough. Absolutely,
so slide
appreciate
in?
That.
That's right. If there's enough lube, I think you might be able to do that.
You just might. We're gonna need a lot. I would have sexual intercourse with Courtney Love if she wanted to. Inadvertently or otherwise. If I was passing my cock to someone and she just swooped in and grabbed it, I would not go get another one. I'd say, just keep it. Just use this one. Just use this one, Courtney, or Miss Love, or whatever you want to be called. And this is going to be true. It has nothing to do with Kurt Cobain, by the way. It's not some weird, like, necrophilia celebrity fetish thing. It's just her. I don't know. Something about her. This isn't funny. I'm just... Well, comedy is sometimes psychiatry, right? So I'm just going to unveil everything here. I don't care. Like, when she's 90 years old and just wrinkled as hell and just the heroin has completely turned her into a puddle of pus, I'm still going to hit that with everything I got. Both guns loaded. My guns, I mean balls.
And I know that you're just talking about your sexual urges, mm-hmm. but it was so bizarre and so absurd that I found it funny. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Absurdity. I think that's the key. I don't know. To me, that's the key to being funny. Again, am I funny? Here's the thing. Here are my limits, and maybe you guys can chime in on this too, because sure. I know that both of you at least try to be funny, and being funny, it, to me, you're both hilarious. But
thank you.
To our listener, I think that person is scratching their chin and being like, "What?" But here's the thing: I have limits, very clear limits. Every time I try to be funny and try to write something or. That even my responses, Jason, to your banter as we do this show, I realize that I have very clear limits, and I have go-tos. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm constrained to things such as dicks, farts, violence, Jesus, cartoons.
Dicks, farts, violence, Jesus.
Yeah.
You are from Wichita, Kansas, aren't you? You just described the whole fucking city. Dicks, farts, violence, and Jesus.
No, you just
described my family going to church on Sunday, which does happen on regular basis.
No, but look, I wasn't done yet. Dicks, farts, violence, Jesus, cartoon characters. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So what's your question?
There is a question, Jason. What are your comedic limits? Do you feel that there's a comedy rut? Or not even a rut. Just like, what are the boundaries? Like, where do you feel limited?
I don't know. Limited. Lack of energy or desire. That's where I'm limited. I just don't give a fuck most of the time. Well, we'll get to that later. I was going to talk about this. Anyway, my point is, I don't know. I don't know if I have limits. I don't mean that, Joe, I'm so amazing that I have no limits. I just mean that maybe you have limits because you recognize what comedy, the potential of comedy is, and I don't have limits because I don't. Like, to me, comedy is just this thing. Like, you and I both grew up with funny dads, and Tim, maybe you can give your background as well, this idea that somebody who was always thinking about the ironic juxtaposition of a thing. No matter what you would say to my dad, or I think it's true for your dad too, Joe. No matter what you say to them, they're immediately thinking, okay, what's ironic that I can now say that goes with that? As long as I can take whatever you said and think of something ironic, I can be funny, you know? And I'm sure your dad would do this too, where you would say something and he'd get this little grin on his face like, I'm thinking of something funny. I'm not going to say it, but I'm thinking of something funny, right? And so to me, there is the only limit, I guess the limit would be, if I can't think of something ironic that goes with what a person is saying, you know, if and that would be in situations, I guess, where I'm trying to take them seriously. You know, my wife came in and she said, my boss really fucked me over today. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to say what I'm thinking, which is, okay, so we're having another kid, right? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to take her seriously. I guess that's the limit. I don't know.
Anyway. Well, Jason, here, let me lather up my hands and wash your balls here for a moment. I think the reason why you struggled when it came to the limits of your comedy, and actually, Tim and I have talked a couple times this week because you know, he's an old friend of mine. We knew he was going to be on the show.
Yeah,
we were talking about you a little bit. Honestly, when you write stuff, it seems that you have no limits. Like you're not. Everything that I write, and you know this, Jason, like it turns back to sex and violence, like and bodily functions. Like I can't. And again, this is where I really get creative is cartoon characters.
Sure.
But that's it. It's fucking all I got. Now you are just you're traipsing across a comedy landscape. I listen to the shit that you write. And I'm like, what are your limits? And you're like, oh, fuck, I don't know. I don't know. Well, maybe you fucking don't know. I feel
I don't.
Like you have a, I think you have a larger range than I do. But I'm like the, oh my god, here we go. I'm like the cartoon Roadrunner, or like Tom and Jerry. Like in my little limits, within my boundaries, sometimes I can do a decent job, but it's very difficult for me to go outside of those constraints. Does that make sense?
It does, but let me say this, Joe, to put us on kind of even ground. And Tim, please chime in on this because you have experience doing comedy. I don't know if you've heard this phrase before, but to me it is the comedian's sole credo, which is you don't have to be funny, you just have to make them laugh. And to me, yes, that sums it all up. Joe, whether you're going to dicks, farts, violence, or Jesus, Donald Duck, Darth Vader, whatever the fuck it is, I laugh every goddamn time we do this show, and therefore, I don't know that your limits are actually limiting. I laugh every time, so mission accomplished. Right. And if somebody wants to swoop in, some, you know, tight ass with a pencil up his, you know, pie hole, and he wants to be like, OK, this is why this wasn't funny. If some fucker is doing a podcast, for example, and he reviews our show and says it's not funny, fuck that guy. Fuck him with a great big greasy. Fuck. OK, you know what? I'm having
get
a stroke
him, get
here.
Him, Jason. Just get him. Just...
Yeah.
Greasy cock. Continue.
There we go. See, there's a good example. I think I may have made somebody laugh, and I was not funny just now. But that's what I'm getting at. So you're fine, Joe. You're absolutely 100% fine.
Here comes that thread, that underlying anger that I was calling attention to earlier. Our review on this rather popular podcast has not even happened yet. Jason's okay. Already mad.
I am.
he's already pissed off. And by the way, so am I, because – well, if they like us, then I'm gonna love them. Well, if they don't like us, I've already listened to their podcast. And, oh, by the way, guys, if you're listening to this, I've listened to your podcast. I kind of like it, but we're funnier than you.
Oh, snap!
That's it. If they listen to this one, it's over.
Did your podcast get reviewed? Because my headphones went out for a second. What happened there?
Oh well. Yes, it is being reviewed. We haven't heard the podcast yet. That's why Jason is like, anybody that doesn't like this podcast needs to suck my greasy dick.
Ah, well, that was definitely a good representation. I loved it. It's my favorite of this podcast. And you're absolutely right, Jason. When it comes to, like, it doesn't really matter as long as the people laugh. That basically is the 10-minute DVD that I'm holding as my little
penis
nugget of what I have accomplished in the comedy world. And they laughed, and I was, and it's being on stage, and Jason knows this, you know, when you have the crowd on your side and you basically can say anything, and especially when it's like your weakest jokes, and they still are supporting you, waiting for the next really good one and everything, that feeling is electric. And
it is.
I mean, you know this, Joe, when you're on stage freaking singing and like playing instruments and everybody's got your back, and that whole performance like is just, you know, that energy, you just can't take that away from you. And it's magical. Whether or not you're actually funny or talented, it doesn't matter. At that moment, you are the most badass motherfucker in the room, period.
Well, and there's something to be said about that. Like, does that have to do with the quality of your performance? Like, I've had entire crowds be delighted by what I'm doing, and I'm not sure if I'm playing the music correctly. So that begs the question, and Jason, please chime in, because you know what? You haven't talked a whole lot about your experience as a stand-up comedian. Isn't it sometimes not the quality of your joke, but the quality of your presentation, your personality, like getting people on board with just who you are, maybe?
Yeah. Like, we're at 40 minutes here, and we got other things that we want to talk about, so I won't belabor the point. But yes, I mean, the reason why Jerry Seinfeld is hilarious is because he's Jerry Seinfeld, and people know him. When they go to the show, they're like expecting him to be funny, and so they're ready to laugh. And he could say, "Hey, everybody, did you ever fart?" And they'll laugh for 5 minutes, right? And it also helps that the audience is very large, right? There's like, you know, 500 people in a small venue for Jerry Seinfeld, or maybe 3,000, right? And so everybody's in on it, and it's very infectious. And so, yes, the way that all of that, it has nothing to do with the joke itself. It is about how it comes across. And, you know, when what Tim's talking about, if you're on a smaller stage, you got like 5 people in the audience or 15 or maybe 50.
That's a very, very small stage.
Yeah, yeah. But you're killing it. Then, yeah, it's because you have brought them in and they're willing to accept what you're saying. And you got this rhythm going and it's awesome. But again, it's not even necessarily – Tim, I think you used this exact phrase. It doesn't matter what you say. You can say anything and they're going to laugh at it, right? So, yeah. I don't know if I'm really addressing, Joe, what you're talking about, presentation per se. Well, but, yeah, if I write a joke, I can write a joke, and Jerry Seinfeld will get a laugh with that joke, guaranteed. I take all of Jerry Seinfeld's jokes, I'm not necessarily going to get a laugh. Because
– Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's not – it's
good, yeah. Good point.
Yeah, and I'm – and Tim, tell me if this is you as well. I mean, I have written literally – thousands of jokes. Writing jokes is really easy. It takes no special talent or skill. It's not something that anybody should be proud of. To be able to say that I can write jokes, anybody can write jokes. That is not where stand-up comedy.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Really? Okay. Fair enough. Let's get controversial here on JBC. You're both wrong,
hey,
but let's
Tim,
do this.
Tim, now it sounded like we just teamed up on him, but here, again, I'm shimmying. Jason. I've heard maybe at least 600 of your 1,000 jokes or several thousand jokes.
Yeah.
And I think it takes some measure of skill to come up with the 50 good jokes that you've produced.
Out of my 600.
Out of the 600,
okay.
That I've heard. I think that takes a lot of skill. You're sitting there like, you're telling me, no, that doesn't take any skill. Anybody can do it. Well, I just want to call bullshit. And by the way,
Jason, no,
Tim, stop it. Listen, I'm telling you, Jason. Jason, I'm just joking. Like, no, listen. I'm just fucking with you. Like, I honestly think that the stuff that you come up with is just fantastic. I've heard a lot of your jokes. I've heard stand up shit. It's really good. And Tim, you too. Fucking. Guess what? I just turned my head as if I would turn into a hostage. And I said, you too, Tim. Very good. And I'm turning back to you. Fucking, really, like, I don't think anybody can just do that. I think that you can hone the skill and make it better and better and better. I do think that it takes some sort of natural talent. But when you say anybody can do it, I think that's bullshit.
Well, okay.
Would you like to...
If I may, in Jason's defense here, and that is, you know, like any late night host out there, they have tons of writers, and it takes them, they'll write 2,000 jokes, and they'll take the best, you know, 25 to do a show. Yeah. And in Jason's defense, anybody can write a joke. So you have these writers, who's getting the top 25? That's the dude that has the talent. All the rest of the hacks are like, don't even make the cut. And they're just back there going, why can't my freaking stupid joke make the show? Okay. It's because you're an idiot. But anybody can write a joke, but can you write a good joke that actually makes the cut? And that's just like in anything in life, you know, anything that you do, you know, it takes 100 ideas to make one good success. And
okay.
The same thing,
Tim,
with a joke.
Fair enough.
But Tim, think about this show. The only two people that are writing for this show are me and Jason. And, you know, what are the odds? The fact is, we're coming in, we've written material, and every time, it sucks.
So, okay, we're approaching minute 45, and I'm going to be an asshole because I'm the engineer and take the last word. I think what I'm getting at in terms of anybody can write a joke is that writing jokes is not why any particular comedian is successful. It will be everything else, mostly work ethic, right? And I don't want to bore people by talking about this, but 99% of being a successful comedian is work ethic. And then there's the, you know, 0.001%, which is the writing of the jokes, and the rest of it is, you know, stage presence and all that good stuff. But if you want to be successful, what I'm trying to tell people, what I'm trying to say is that there are people out there who can make it in comedy, and writing of the jokes should be the last thing that they have to work on. First, they got to work on their work ethic, because I don't know, Tim, how many times you've done open mics, but it fucking sucks. And
terrible.
It's something you got to go through. I'm talking about years and years and fucking years of open mics before you're even going to catch that lucky break. And open mics, any comedian who's done more than, you know, 3 months of them will tell you, is just shit. But if you want to make it, you got to, you know, pay your dues. Anyway, I'm belaboring the point.
I know you wanted to have the last word, but
you can take it. Shimmy your hands there. Ping your balls with a hammer. Do what you need to do.
All I'm saying is, like, I haven't had the experience of being a stand-up comedian like that. You, Jason, and your father have done it. Tim has done it. It's not like you guys have HBO specials, but, like, I consider all three of you very, very funny people. I would like to think that I have something to, you know, offer comedically, but I've never done stand-up comedy, and, like, this notion of, like, you just have to get up there and, like, pay your dues. It's like an emotional beat down. Like, and that's, like, part of it. It's, like, part of your training. But you're saying, to me, I thought that was both the writing and the performance.
No,
I mean,
it's,
I guess that's – okay.
No, it's – I mean, I'm going to really go into a long thing here, but you don't do open mics because you're practicing your craft. Once you're established, then open mics can be a practice thing. Then being the feature, you know, can be a practice thing. Then, you know, that's fine. But no, you go through years of open mics because you're meeting people, you're networking, you're getting to know the right individuals, you're experimenting, you're trying to find yourself, all that stuff.
Right.
It's not about the jokes. It's about the experience. It's about, you know, it's about finding how much you hate yourself. I'm not even trying to be funny now. How much do you hate yourself?
There's that anger, motherfucker.
Yeah.
There it is.
Because if you don't hate yourself enough to put yourself through that fucking torture, you don't have the right to be a comedian. You don't.
Oh, I see. It's like, can you fucking slog through the swamp and get out of the other side?
Yeah.
And then continue. I see. It's a paying of dues.
Yeah,
here's
a shitty analogy. Yeah, here's a shitty analogy. It's like saying, okay, I'd rather work this stupid dishwashing job so I can play guitar at night than get a real job and have a career because I want to be a rock and roll star. And that's a bad analogy, but it's kind of what it comes down to. And just full disclosure, I couldn't do it. I tried doing open mics for a while, realized I fucking hated it, and I like being funny, but I don't like it that much, so I gave up. That's just the sad, sad story of it. And instead of doing stand-up, I do a shitty podcast with my hilarious cousin. So, you know, boom.
Hey, Jason, though, did you get some laughs? Now, I've only heard that from your father.
Yeah.
And maybe he's biased, but I feel like he's also honest. And he's also, I consider him a good stand-up comedian. You've only told me some of the jokes. I've never seen any footage or I've never been to one of your shows, but he considers you a very good stand-up comedian. Did you get some laughs?
Yeah, I got laughs. And Tim, having done it, can tell you, I'm sure he's familiar with this. I talked too fast, rushed through my jokes, didn't pay attention to the audience. So I had a lot of things I needed to work on. But yeah, I mean, out of any one night of 30 stand-up comics doing an open mic, I think I probably in the top 10 of who got the most laughs every time. Yeah, I mean, because you know.
Well, fucking it. All right, great.
Yeah.
And now, okay, so Tim, I didn't see this coming, but usually we will have an ad way sooner than this. This is going to be real quick, Jason. I prepared an ad.
Yeah.
Would you like to do my I would like for you to do my intro.
Okay.
And then be very, very ready to do the outro. Because
okay.
This is my ad. Ready?
Okay, you're going to This isn't the one on the box there. This is
No, this is the ad. This is the ad. Just do the intro for me and get ready for the outro.
Okay. Oh shit. Here we go. All right. I gotta crank it up. Here we go. Boom. Intro. Sometimes.
No. The ad.
Oh, that's That's Arguments for Cancellation.
Man,
Comedy
you
Gold.
Are fucking, you're okay. A true professional, dude.
Here we go.
Hit
yes,
it.
I am. All right.
Okay, that's it.
That's the ad?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. All right.
Gentlemen, I didn't have an ad today, and that's where we're at. So well, can we hear something maybe from Larko? Or
yeah. Okay.
I have something from Larko.
Oh, my God. He has an ad?
Awesome. Tim,
do
will
you have an ad?
Well, it
Play
was
the
kind
fucking
of
intro again.
Okay, it, well, yeah, here we go. Go, Tim.
Well, hold on. Before we do the intro, I just wanted to let you know that I had a really great sponsor, and they were really excited when I told them that I was going to be on the JBC show, and they were like, "Whoa, man, what exposure! This is great!" And I was like, "Really?" And I was like, "Well, okay," And then they're like, "So what are you, you know, what's going on with this?" And I explained to them, "Well, you know, it's the JBC show." They're like, "We know the JBC show." So I guess it's two cousins that, you know, have this podcast and everything else. And they literally spit in my face through the phone.
Wow.
And kicked me in the nuts.
Wow.
And then also after that, explained to me through the phone. And explained to me that they thought that it was the Juggling Big Cock show, which has a lot of exposure, and it's the only place on the internet, if you go look it up, that you can find three-legged midgets being, you know, actually juggled and tossed like pins by the cast of Wonder Woman. So it's the hottest ticket in town. They're really excited, but once I explained to them that it was, you know, two cousins that
Damn it.
You know. Well, however, so I had to make my own. I did end up finding one for you. May I?
Absolutely. Jason, yeah. Go. Let's do the, you want the intro? You want to be introduced?
Yeah, just for Tim.
Sure.
Okay. Because I love him so much. Hit it.
Jason, Joe, have you ever wanted to reach through a phone and spit right in someone's face? Or better yet, just kick them straight in the balls? Thanks to our friends at Larko, you can download a simple app on your Android or Apple cellular device and do just that. Just go to your handy-dandy Play Store application, type in Wet Ball Smack in the search option there. Now diligently sip through loads of porn apps. Be sure to stop when you find Uncle Willie's Testy Check. Don't be confused by downloading Willie's Test D's Nuts, for you will be grossly disappointed by what you find in that app. Why don't you just type in Uncle Willie's Testy Check app to begin with, Tim? Well, I'm glad you asked. That would completely defeat the purpose of sifting through loads of porn apps, silly. Here at Larko, cellular application research development and making human beings more dependent on technological advances to further a global robotic porn agenda's mission statement is, it's not just reaching the end of the journey that's more important. It's how many times you're going to jerk off before you get there. Now, upon successfully downloading Uncle Willie's Testy Check, you can now confidently call that untrusting bitch of a girlfriend of yours and honestly tell her, "Yes, I was hanging out with that whore girlfriend of yours, Heather, yesterday." As she winds up to really tell you what she thinks about that, shut that bitch down with the push of a button, as she will be doused with hot gelatinous llama saliva right in her ear, with a recorded message that you can personalize yourself. such as, "Can you hear me now, bitch?" Or, "That's how your whore girlfriend Heather felt yesterday, only it was my jizz in her ear." Wow, that's really rude, you say. You're damn right it is. But wait, there's more. If you've ever wanted to rack that cheating asshole of a boyfriend right in his googly bags, go through the same simple Play Store search model that we stated before. Download the app for yourself. Call that jizzing in your best friend ear motherfucker, and as he's sitting there debating whether or not he should answer his phone, enable the testy check mode in your application, and that son of a bitch doesn't even have to answer your call, and a robotic ball-peeing hammer ejects from the bottom of his cell phone device and starts playing croquet with his jizz bombers. You will have the option of the very popular insult by injury message as well, that you personalize yourself, such as, "I wish I could hear you now," or, "Heather has HIV, you dumbass." And as always, if you download with your JBC coupon code, you'll receive the Donald Trump's grabber by the right at the pussy for free, Larco, where serving all your personal physical needs is our pleasure.
Okay.
Oh, that explains so much.
Now I have a lot to say. my pasties are helicoptering. They're twirling right at you. And this is the first. Oh my god, I don't know how to feel about this. I'm so fucking. I'm ambivalent. I'm ambiguous.
You're ambidextrous, listen, Joe. Yeah.
I'm ambidextrous.
Ambidextrous.
Listen, this is the first Larco ad that has not been read by Jason.
Yeah.
Now, many Larco ads have been confusing.
This was probably the most.
But nothing compared to this. It was funny and confusing.
Yeah.
But I was fucking on board. I understood it somehow. But I'm telling you, this was weird. And well, Tim, thank you.
I think that what we've seen is – I'll explain what I mean by it explains so much. So many of the Larco ads were – I mean, frankly, guys, I know Larco's listening – useless. I mean, they're advertising shit nobody wants, but what Tim was given to by them, if that's a sentence, sounds actually useful. I will buy that app. Yeah. So I have also,
it's something that you would actually want to buy.
Absolutely.
Whereas most of the time when Larco gives you some copy, it's something that, let me be generous and say that it's impractical.
Often. Here, I have a case in point. They just sent me something. And here's what I mean by this explained so much. I called up Larco. I said, "Where's the fucking ad?" And the guy's like, "Oh, I'm going to send it to you right now." And while he's talking to me, I hear typing. Fucker was writing the ad while I called him, okay? That's how last minute this shit is. And I think it might have been because they had spent all their time gussying up Tim's ad. So I'll read this one. You guys, bear with me. Let me see if I have the copy here. Okay, here it is. All right.
Can you shake that around for me just one
Yeah,
time?
I just need a
tradition.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it.
On a crisp October evening in 2015, Florence Groomsmith was sitting in the Albright Theater in Slocum, South Dakota, watching the Louis C.K. show. Tears streaming down her face, she turned to her companion, Edith, and gasped, "I'm laughing my ass off." Her friend barely noticed the banality of the sentiment. So engaged was she in Mr. C.K.'s send-up of fatherhood and his selfish, disgusting daughters. So imagine Florence and Edith's surprise when, as they stood up at the end of the show, that, indeed, Florence had literally laughed her ass off. It would seem that her buttocks enhancement surgery of only a few weeks prior hadn't healed entirely, and she left a decent portion of her badonkadonk right there on the cushion. It would be droll if it weren't so embarrassing. Do you want this to happen to you? Do you want to go see a hilarious comedian such as Dane Cook or that Iglesias guy and leave the show with less ass than you came in with? I'm guessing the answer is no, unless you're trying to be funny. How about we leave funny to the funny people? Larco introduces butt straps, a stylish leather thong that you strap around your rear end just in case you too are at risk of losing your posterior to superior levity. Strap on butt straps before you head to the Ha Ha Club, or even if you're just sitting down to a rollicking few hours of Friends reruns. That Chandler, he could knock the shitter off Taylor Swift with his wit and whatnot. Larco's butt straps are available. Larco's butt straps are available in a variety of quality leathers, including calfskin, alligator, llama, and Ariana Grande. Butt straps are only available online, and if you use our code at checkout, JBC, Larco will throw in, absolutely free, a stack of ready wipes, just in case the comedy is so outrageous that it makes you lose your actual dookie. Larco's butt straps. Because laughing your ass off is one thing, but comedy should never be taken literally. Ever. Fucker wrote that literally 5 minutes before the show started. I am not lying.
Jason, all right. I hate to break the fourth wall, but...
It's the comedy show. Why the fuck not?
Right. But the fact that...
Whoa. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. You're the engineer. We were talking about it earlier, like, holy shit, he's putting in... He's putting in background music. I was trying to let our listener. I don't know. God damn it. Listen.
Yes. Break the fourth wall, Joe.
What you have done, again, is. It's. I don't know, man. Larco. I don't know what to say about Larco.
Larco.
And the first time ever that somebody has ever brought in another ad from Larco. Like, Tim, you brought in an ad from Larco?
Well, I was actually subjected to it. Like, literally, when I told people their sponsor I had, they used that app on me. So
they did.
I felt like it needed to be put out there.
Yeah, you did the research. You're like, what the fuck was that? Found out who made it, called up Larco, said, what is this? And they said, do the ad. Yeah, no, that I hear you. Yeah. So for what it's worth, guys, sorry to be an asshole. We're over time now. These shows always go so fast when we have extra people on. It's kind of cool. Joe, do you have an argument for cancellation this week, or is that something you decided you're having so much fun you don't need to argue?
Jason, I have an argument for cancellation that I'm embarrassed. I think that makes sense. I'm embarrassed.
Okay, why is that?
Let me explain. I you ever seen The Dark Crystal?
Random reference.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I have. When I was like 8.
All right. No. Well, in The Dark Crystal, the emperor of the Skeksis, which is the most son of a bitch dickhead of all time, is dying. And they're like, hey, what do you have to say? And he goes, I. So that's how I feel right now. And I'm going to make the argument. Go ahead, give me the intro, and I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna do it the best I can. Hit it.
Okay, here it is. Wait, that's not the intro.
Wait. Can we hear it?
Oh, that's the Dark Crystal. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Sometimes that is better.
Welcome everybody to the comedy version, comedy edition of JBC's Arguments for cancellation. Oh my god, I'm so distracted.
Now listen. Yeah, go ahead.
No. It'll be okay. Here's the problem. The same thing that happened last time is this. If we're trying to be funny, then something that is not funny will be the best argument for cancellation. And I submit to you, motherfuckers, that this is not funny. Hit it. Made a little diddly about shatting my pants. Lost control of my asshole, and I'm a grown man. Thought it's gonna be a big wet fart. That fart turned into a shark, dripped down my balls. You know,
fantastic.
John Pooper Mellencamp would be so pleased with you right
John
now.
John Pooper Mellencamp. That's correct. Thank you.
So that's a good argument for cancellation. Should I play your outro now?
Yeah, just do it.
I think you just fucking convinced me.
Sometimes that is better.
Now awesome. That hurts, guys.
Sorry about that.
Is that it?
That's the argument for cancellation.
That's the argument for cancellation. That was as probably the best to date yet. Actually, it was fantastic.
Yeah, you. You Royce Sop, no, not Royce Sop. You Royce cocked that one. You obscenitized. I will be singing that to my 2-year-old son tomorrow when he wakes up. Because he shits his pants all the time.
You guys are very generous, but the fact is, you know, fat cock was good. There's, you know, obscenitizing a song.
Yeah.
The entire song, that was great. Maybe like a couple bars. That was fantastic.
I think it was great. It's
song. I mean, you have to bring it together and do this or that. I don't know. I thought you guys might enjoy it.
I enjoyed it, Joe. So I think that we've all learned something here, and I'm going to say this in closing as I play the Royksopp outro and we listen to the background noises of the Dark Crystal.
Oh, no, we're done?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we're done.
All right.
Okay, what was I saying? I don't remember. I'm too busy watching The Dark Crystal. We've all learned something here today, and I think what we learned is that we're all funny motherfuckers. Tim's funny. Joe, you're funny. I have my moments. Life is funny. And if you can't laugh at the world, let the world laugh at you, asshole. Fuck, that guy is crumbling to pieces. Jesus.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's terrible. Anyway, last words, Tim? Anything you want to say before we call it a day?
It was an absolute honor to be surrounded and allowing me to insert myself into you guys simultaneously tonight. Thank you.
I really do feel, Tim, like you were the virtual... you were the virtual version of kicking me in the balls and spitting in my face through my phone. I really enjoyed your being here, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
And, hey, I want to say...
Yeah. Do you want to say it, Joe, or do you want to shout it over the loud part when I increase the volume?
Okay, dude, listen. Tim is the only person that has ever been on the entire show with us.
Yeah.
Well, almost... pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
And I'll say that, and then I'll hold back for a minute, and then I'll say something else.
Alright. Well, thanks both of you, and I'm gonna increase the volume now, and then we'll be done. Good night.
Jazz hands, motherfucker!
Oh, I forgot to hit stop.